following program may contain material that is inappropriate for children or your workplace.
The following production of the Bang Radio Hour contains fictional material used strictly for satirical and comedic purposes, and it should not be accepted as being factual, and all voices are impersonated.
Bang Radio.
Bang! Bang! Bang!
Gobble gobble on this, man.
Do the bang thing. Do the bang thing.
Welcome to the Bang Radio Hour.
Hey, Browns. Mike Polk, season ticket holder. You are wasting valuable space on our majestic shoreline, and what do we get out of it from you? 10 miserable games a year, including 2 preseason games that I have to pay for, and 1 shitty Kenny Chesney concert.
Where does Tom Brady rank on your all-time list, Greg?
Well, he's awfully hot.
I think Troyton's a queer.
Hello.
13-year NFL vet, Super Bowl participant, 6-time Pro Bowler, Donovan McNabb.
I've been just going home.
Bacon.
You know, brothers. You know I'm bacon.
I got
you know
I love bacon.
You're going to love this. Bacon.
As a white man, I have to take a stand. I remain outraged.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Stop it.
I'm going to whip my ding ding out.
And now, here's John and Tom.
Blunt the tailback. LeGarrette with the gift. He runs it right. Lowers the shoulders. In for a score. Third touchdown of the day for LeGarrette Blunt.
Taylor looks downfield. Has a lot of time. Now he fires it downfield. Got Hogan down the left sideline. Catch. Touchdown. The route is on in South Florida. A 38-yard strike from Tyrod Taylor to Chris Hogan.
Dalton looks to throw. His pass
got
downfield.
Got
caught
it
on the run.
Got
A.J. Green's
going
to do it again. Oh. At the 30. Inside the 20.
Oh.
Runs to the 10. 5. Can you believe it? Deja vu.
Ryan hands to Devontae Freeman. Got a kick out block. DeMarco. And Freeman scores the Atlanta touchdown.
Newton backs up. Looking. Calculating. Sidearm throw. End zone. Greg Olsen. Got it. Touchdown.
And you tell him, Greg Olsen. You let everybody know.
Hand off Adrian Peterson. He gets out to the right side. Stiff arms a charger at the 40. Adrian to the 30. Heads to the left of the 20. Shakes the tackle. And then the loose.
Blackwood throws quickly complete. Steve Smith Sr. the 45. Second effort. Still on his feet. Inside the 40. Down the sideline. 30. 20. One man to beat 10. Hit at the 5. Dives for the pylon. Touchdown Ravens. Steve Smith Sr. the one man wrecking crew. Handoff Randall coming right. Trying to bounce outside across the 40. He does. Still going. 25. 20. 10. Randall. Burst of speed. Touchdown. Joseph Randall.
Rodgers gets the snap just in time. Quick throw. Right side. He's got his man. Touchdown Randall Cobb. They're going to run a draw play.
Yeah.
Charles trying to burst up the middle off the hit. Diving for the end zone. He's got a touchdown. Jamal Charles.
Touchdown.
His third rushing touchdown of the evening.
Man, John, those were all just, I mean, you talk about fantasy monster games, man.
Tell me about it.
I mean, huge 3 touchdown games for so many guys. I'm sitting here in one league and I got Jamal Charles, Joseph Randall, and Steve Smith, all 3 starting. 9 touchdowns between the 3 of them.
In the league that we're in together, I have Julio Jones, Randall Cobb, and I have Steve Smith, but I had him on my bench. I had 1,100 points on my bench this week and I still won.
I know.
1,100 points. I had Roethlisberger, and he went down. So I lost that pretty much that whole game because he went down earlier in the first or second quarter, I think. But 700 points sitting on my bench, and I still won, thanks to one Randall Cobb.
I had a great fantasy weekend. But several players there, man. A lot of highlights. A lot of – I mean, just – you know, guys have good games every week, but those were monster games, man. I mean, somebody on, you know, FanDuel and DraftKings, those guys –
oh, yeah.
Somebody celebrating. Boy, they had the right lineup and just dominated, you know.
Oh, dude, my other main fantasy league that I play in, my other big keeper league, I had Devontae Freeman and James Randall – I mean, Joseph Randall and Randall Cobb. I was like, oh, my God, great. This is great. Andrew Luck was my freaking my dragging down to the bottom anchor. I was like, dude, I should have benched this sorry ass son of a bitch.
All right. Steve Smith.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut you off, but I got a bone to pick about that opener. All right.
What opener?
Touchdown Ravens. What the fuck is that? That is the Raiders call. That is the Raiders' call. When he says that's the Raiders' call. Touchdown, Raiders. He just changes it to Ravens, and I don't like that. Baltimore, you stole a team, and now you're stealing the touchdown call. You worthless bastards. I don't like it at all.
Well, Steve Smith did not have quite the same game on Thursday night. We'll get to that coming up, but let's hear from Reevesy.
Hi, everyone. Reevesy here. Bang Radio Hour number 260. I'm not going to say I'm a fickle football fan, because we all know that's true. All football fans are fickle. But now we're going to win the Super Bowl. We've won one game. Sam Bradford is our leader. The downfield threat of Darren Sproles. Yeah, fantastic chip.
Wait, was he? He's doing his own show now.
Down the field threat. I guess 3-yard dump offs are down the field.
Darren Sproles.
Good work. Good work, my friend. The only thing that saved us last week, Brandon Marshall's lateral. Who did he throw the ball to? What a fucking dumbass. Anyway, I'm hoping that Sam Bradford breaks his leg next week so we can have Mark Sanchez. On a positive note, welcome, Alex. Nice to meet you. You make me laugh. Thanks for coming.
Yes, of course, Alex was on the show last week. He won't be here today because he is out of town, but I'm Tom, he's John, and Alex, he'll be around throughout the season at different times. So
he will. Now, I just want to point out that Reeves hopes that Sam Bradford breaks his leg so they can get to Mark Sanchez. And I just want to say to you, Roger Goodell, this is what it happens when you send the worst teams in the NFL over to the UK to represent your league. This is what you get.
You're right.
I mean, you know, it's bad enough Reezy chose the Eagles from all the way over there. Well, how the hell he did that, I don't know. Oh, I just guess all he likes the smell of dumpsters. Reezy, I guess, has himself an empty trophy case. Maybe he feels a kinship. I don't know. You know, so I don't know why would you do that to yourself, choose that.
All right, well, coming up here, the D-O-double-G say, fuck a idiot kicker.
Yeah.
Jim Harbaugh say, Fitty comes once a year. Tom Brady say, him a whiny-ass child. Wait till you hear this one.
Okay.
The Dolphins say, let the crazy bitch in. And Steve Smith
Sr.
say, you be on the list, bitch.
Damn
all
straight.
Right, but first, Michael Irvin say, Julio will score all over that ass.
Can Rod Marinelli get out of a cover two scheme?
I hope not, especially today. You get out of that cover two.
You gotta keep that safety up above.
You leave Brandon Carr sitting over there on Julio. Man, the drums are playing. Brrr, touchdown! Brrr, touchdown! Brrr, touchdown! We don't need any of that.
Ah, that's fantastic. And that's what happened.
He is beginning to sound like one of those Casio pianos you could buy from like 1982 that had a button that could make anything sound like anything. You could play your little keyboard keys that would make those drum sounds. Brrr. You could probably even make one say touchdown.
Brrr. Brrr.
Touchdown.
Touchdown!
Oh,
right.
Oh, that's pretty good. Oh shit! It sounds like a vibrator with a motor going bad.
Well, he sure did. Julio, I mean, did do that to Dallas all day. He's doing it to everybody.
Yeah, everybody. He's finally starting to play the way, you know, they drafted him to play. He's past the nagging injuries. He's finally got himself an offensive coordinator. I'm going to go ahead and say it. The next best new head coach coming along is Kyle Shanahan. This dude goes from town to town to town to town,
yep.
Except for Cleveland, because nobody can do it in Cleveland. And right. Dude, the 2012 Redskins were, RG3 set all kinds of records and then decided he didn't want to do that anymore. And now he's gone down to Atlanta where he took a look at what he's got down there and he goes, hey, look, I got a really good pocket passer. I got this big-ass wide receiver. I got this power running game. Let's do that. He doesn't go anywhere with a scheme. You know what his scheme is? Let me see who I got. What can we do with that?
Mm-hmm.
Next best new head coach coming along, Kyle Shanahan. And Dan Snyder, let that fucker get out of the building. Ran him out of the building.
Julio and Devontae Freeman, you know, they definitely turned around the second half for Atlanta. And, you know, that's the way it goes. Now, who played quarterback for the Saints?
One of the McCown boys. One of them there McCown boys. I think it was either Joshua or Luke. I believe it was Luke. Luke McCown.
Yeah, Josh is in Cleveland.
Josh is up in Cleveland. He's a damn right.
Yeah, Luke McCown. So, Sunday Night Football, we get Luke McCown versus Brandon Whedon. How great is that?
Breeze has been throwing, though, so we'll see.
Okay.
Yeah, but
Luke McCown
and Brandon Whedon.
They only won when McCown played. So what do you want to do? You know what I mean?
I know. I don't Both know McCown and Whedon looked at the schedule and went, oh, hell yeah.
Right.
Both of them.
All right. So let's move on to Thursday night's game. Of course, this would be the first game of week four. We haven't, you know, it's Friday.
Right.
So we've already seen the Thursday night game.
Right.
From week four. And, you know, like I said, Steve Smith, he did not have as good a game. Of course, he took quite the hit from Steeler safety Mike Mitchell.
Yeah.
And, you know, they used to be teammates, and Smith vowed revenge on him. He said he speared him.
He did.
And, yeah, I know. He definitely did, because I saw it again today.
Well, they were jawing earlier in the game, you know. Smith was doing his usual walk back to the huddle, getting in your face.
Anybody playing against Steve Smith, you're jawing with him. I don't care who you are.
I didn't see the name of the Steeler, but who was it that he had grabbed by the jersey and they had that isolated camera on him and he was just looking at him with that look that said, hey, you ain't going anywhere, son. You just ain't going anywhere.
I don't know.
That was great.
But here's what Steve Smith said about Mike Mitchell after the game.
A lot of people want to know how you're feeling right now.
How do I feel? Probably first time in my career, I feel like I'm 36. You know, I got speared in the back by an ex-teammate, and I kind of know his character and who he is. And after he hit me, he said, how you like that? So, I mean, the best thing I could do without threatening him and saying that I will assault him when I see him is I will say I look forward to playing him again. And he's on my lifetime hit list.
Yeah. He's on my lifetime hit list. I don't want to say I'll assault him, but he's on my lifetime hit list, John.
I can't wait to play him again. I wish this dude played for the Redskins. Holy shit, I love this guy. He is a Hall of Famer.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, before this season began, he was on the Rich Eisen show, and he vowed to Rich Eisen, he didn't give any names, but he vowed to wound, damage, and puncture a lot of people on his way out of the league.
That's terrific. Oh, and by the way, congratulations to Rich Eisen for having that trophy named after him. Maybe the Cowboys will win it this year. Yeah, I tell you what, man, Steve Smith, we say it all the time, if there's somebody you want on your side, no matter how right or wrong you are, he's the guy, because he'll go to war, man. He will go to battle.
You know, I'm watching him, you know, we saw him, he was in Carolina all those years, and now we're seeing him with Joe Flacco, and how good he is with Flacco. Can you imagine if this guy had spent his career with, you know, Peyton Manning or Tom Brady?
Oh, dude, it wouldn't even be a question of Hall of Fame. I wouldn't even have to bring it up and ask people if they thought he was going to the Hall of Fame. He would be a clear number one-er. I think he is anyway. I think he's had a great career. Even if sometimes his numbers haven't been the best numbers that you could possibly be, doesn't lead in Category A or Category B, you find me a better football player. You find me a better football player.
Phenomenal.
He's phenomenal, Manumanup.
Problem is, by the time we get to him being eligible, you know, 5 years after he retires, then people are just looking at stats and they forget the greatness that he, you know, on the field, watching this guy. All I can say is I am enjoying watching him this year a lot. I mean, I look forward to watching him play football every week, man. Just, he's amazing.
Yeah, because I started him this week in that league that I sat him on the bench last week. And, of course, he got me two catches for 24 yards.
Well, because he got hurt, unfortunately, or he'd have probably had a bigger game. Boy, that was another great classic Baltimore-Pittsburgh game, wasn't it?
It was all right. I mean, you know, there was a lot of slop in it, I thought. I didn't think Michael Vick was as sharp as he could be. And I thought that he was really off in how he did things. And I think Phil Sims is the most vapid human being that you can possibly find. That dude just talks out of his ass the entire game.
All right, we'll get to him, but hang on a second here. Yeah. He was not as sharp as he could be. How sharp could he be after all the time he hasn't played?
Well, you know, I'm just saying, I thought that he was kind of sloppy. I'm not expecting much of him. He's a backup quarterback who's, what, 37 years old or something like that? I thought that he made mistakes in reads. He missed open receivers because he held balls too long. He did things, and they did point it out on CBS's broadcast where he was making mistakes. And I thought that, you know, because I picked the Steelers, he could have done better.
Well, I took the Ravens.
That goddamn.
I really wanted to see the Ravens go 0-4. Having them go 0-3 was fun enough, but I wanted them to go 0-4 because, ladies and gentlemen, Vinny Serrato, former Redskins idiot GM, is on the radio in Baltimore every morning at 10 o'clock, and I really want to listen and get some goofy shit from him because, you know, he don't know jack shit about what he's talking about. And if you don't believe me, look at the Redskins from about 2001 to, 2009.
You know, I heard Steve Spurrier say that he was told who he had to start at quarterback.
Oh, dude, they were picking from Danny Werfel, Rob Johnson. What was that other stupid ass from Florida that they had? Oh, God, it doesn't matter who they told you to start. They all suck, dude. Snyder could have said, start my German Shepherd Sparky, and it would have been no different.
Well, I'm guessing Phil Sims was with me, and he picked the Ravens based on this comment.
Trying to fool the pass protection of the Ravens, but look, it's a veteran offensive line. They've seen all the looks. They should not have any trouble picking up these blitzes tonight by the Steelers.
Well, I'd say they had a little trouble, John.
Just a little bit. I mean, to the tune of 5 sacks and an interception that set up the Steelers' first touchdown. Literally, that was like 5 minutes after Captain Frickin' Brainless said that. They did this weak side blitz that all of a sudden they couldn't pick up, and he threw it right into an interception. And there's Phil Sims with, you know, there's so much egg on his face, he doesn't even realize it.
You know, God, Vic got sacked a lot, too.
Well, yeah, he got sacked a lot because he held the ball too long.
Right. Yeah, he did.
He held the ball too long. Yeah, you know, and the dude that was making the sacks is that rookie that's taking Suggs' place, and he was just bull rushing up the middle.
Right.
You know, so. Yeah, Vic, that's why I mean I thought he was kind of sloppy. It wasn't necessarily that he was rusty throwing the ball, because, I mean, shoot, dude, he laid one right into Antonio Brown's stomach in the end zone, and then Michael Irvin said that it was because of the left-handed spin. That's why he dropped it. I wish I had a tape of him.
You're right when you said Vic was a little sloppy, but... Man, to me, though, the hitting that went on in that game, the jawing, you know, the trash talk, I mean, it was just, to me, it was just, like, you know, sloppy or not, man. When those two teams get together, it's just fantastic. And, of course, you know, the kickers is where it came down at the end. And you know, Josh Scobie, man, the guy, you know, what are you going to do?
I know what you do.
Well, I watched Adam Vinatieri missed two or three field goals in a game a couple weeks ago.
That's fine, but I'm telling you, the Pittsburgh Steelers, your problem resides with that gum-chomping idiot called Danny Smith, who is your special teams coach. The only thing that makes your special teams any sort of reasonable is the fact that Antonio Brown is an all-world returner, and it doesn't matter who his coach is. But if you removed Antonio Brown, you would watch your freaking Steelers look so stupid on special teams, it's not even funny.
Well, here's what old D-O-double-G, Snoop Dogg, had to say about Josh Scobie.
The fuck out of here, Josh Scobie. We need to get rid of that motherfucker. He's sorry as fuck. He was sorry in Jacksonville. He's sorry with us. Get his ass out of here. Bye-bye, bitch. Sorry, motherfucker, you.
God, man, you talk about taking it personal.
He does. And, you know, you got to really feel bad if Snoop Dogg's taking the time out to freaking bitch you out personally on his Vine.
He's doing that all the time now.
I know. Well, he's a huge football fan, but I thought he was a Raiders fan. But maybe I'm wrong. He's a Steelers fan, right?
Yeah. He's a Steelers fan, for sure.
Yeah, bandwagon. Yeah. California boy, liking the Steelers, growing up in the 70s.
So is Stephen A. Smith, man. He was really depressed today. It was funny.
They was hearing the Baltimore Ravens radio broadcast in their headphones.
All right, let's move on here to Cam Newton, okay? I know everybody's heard about this whole non-call, and, you know, Cam Newton felt that there should have been a personal foul call, and he didn't get it, and he asked Ed Hockley about it, and here's what Cam said after the game, why he didn't get the call.
It's one thing to be frustrated in a situation where you see a personal foul on an opposing quarterback get called, and then for me, when it's something around that same range and for that flag not to be called, I'm ticked off, really. I was really baffled by what was said to me, you know, I was rolling out, you know, trying to string out the play, create some type of opportunity to get a completion. And, you know, the defensive lineman kind of hit me. It was close, right on the cusp. Was it a lay hit? I don't know. But the response that I got was, Cam, you're not old enough to get that call.
You're not old enough to get that call. Ed Hockley denied saying that. And I don't know, I suppose it's possible that Cam misunderstood what he said and he said something different. But I don't believe that Cam Newton made that up.
No, I don't think so. I think Ed Hockley is the one referee in the league who takes it personally when anybody questions authority, like, you know, throwing a red flag on the field or something like that. Or what was it that the Broncos did? Oh, they fumbled the ball, and he decided, now, not on my watch, buddy. That's an incomplete pass. So, you know, and he will never, ever. You watch one of his games, the number of times that he'll change his mind, it has to be so clear, it's not even funny. There has to be, on that video, a big sign that comes up and says, Ed Hockley, this is a fucking fumble, for him to say, oh, I guess maybe that's a fumble. I don't doubt it. I don't doubt it. But if he's saying, if Cam Newton is saying that he watches the quarterback on the other side get that call, weren't they playing the Bucs last week? Am I wrong about that? Because if it was Tampa, it's Jameis Winston. And how can Cam not be old enough to get the call that Winston gets?
God, I can't even remember who they played.
And it's like trying to remember what I had for dinner last night. I don't know.
Right? Ed Hockley, you know, he's a superstar, man.
Oh, hell yeah, man. Look at them guns, baby. I work all the time. I work out all the time. You think I put these on just so I can't be on camera? I'm pulling that flag out as much as I can, unless it's Cam Newton. I don't like that boy. He's too young.
He's too young.
He thinks he's Superman, like hell. Look at these pumps, baby. Look at these babies. Cam's got nothing on me. Nothing on me at all. Tell you what, I bet you Hockley has a shrunken dick and zits all over his back.
Oh, no. Just, man, why you got to put that in my head?
Well, he's a steroid user. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that, you know, he's got like a bad acne problem. I'm just saying it comes from the overuse of steroids he does to get that body.
I understand that, but you didn't need to put that damn vision in my head.
Oh, no, they played the Saints last week, so I was totally off on my assumption there. They'll give the call to Luke McCown.
Right, Luke McCown.
Look, Cam, I got to give it to him. He hardly ever gets in the game, you know. It'll make him feel special if I let him get roughed once in a while.
All right. New England Patriots quarterback Tom Brady.
Well, I tell you what, though. He wouldn't do that to Tom Brady. Hockley would not do that to Tom Brady. And I think that the idea that we know Ed Hockley uses phrases like Jungle Boy might come and play into that Cam Newton thing. And that's all I'm saying about it.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. I'm just going to throw that hand grenade out there and let people
that's
run wild with it.
Right.
All right, Facebook, open up.
Are you saying he's racist?
I didn't say that. Let somebody else say that. I'm just going to imply it. You know how it works today, these days, Tom.
Oh, I do.
I don't have to say it. I just can say some may say.
Well, you know, it's like last week on the show when we had Jerry Jones on. He didn't pull any punches. He said, are you white? I said, yeah. He said, then you can play quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. I was like, okay, Jerry.
That's true. He did say that, didn't he?
Yeah, he did.
Well, you know, they had, what was his name, and they had to invent a drug scandal to get him out of town, right?
Who?
They did that for his own good, right? They smuggled him off to Canada. They said, look, they're coming for you tonight, boy. We're going to pretend we found some cocaine in the bathroom, and we're hauling you off to Ottawa.
All right, well, hey, let me tell you this story about Tom Brady, and you tell me, because when I heard this, I was not surprised at all.
You were nonplussed.
This did not surprise me one bit, and that's kind of sad. But and this is Tom Brady's own admission. All right, mm-hmm. He did an interview with Man of the World magazine. Have you ever heard of this magazine, Man of the World?
Yes. Look, I've read this magazine, and it's owned by Donald Trump, and the only two people that are ever allowed to be discussed in it are Donald Trump and his close personal friend, Tom Brady.
Oh, is that right? All right. Well,
that's it.
Tom Brady says in this interview, he says,
Man of the World magazine.
he says he resorts to childish ways to get his supermodel wife, Gisele Bündchen, to pay attention to him.
Dude, he wears a baby outfit and she puts him in a giant crib. I knew it. He's got a baby bottle that's like 3 feet tall and he lays around and poops in a big fat diaper. I knew it. He's got a fetish. I fucking knew it.
He says, quote, I like attention from her. So when I'm not getting it, I let her know in immature ways like a young immature child would.
Right. So he snuggles up to her and I guarantee you, one of these days he's not going to get any pussy before the game like he's used to. And he's going to go out and he's going to call signals like that.
59 to Mike.
Yeah, this was in the New York Post. He went on to say
You throw fits, you pout, and you whine until you get what you want. I was like, oh my God.
You never give me a blowjob.
And then I went, yeah, I find this very easy to believe with Tom Brady.
Sure, who doesn't do that? I guarantee you, he tells her, you know, if you don't, it's going to hurt all weekend, and I don't want to have to sit here like that.
Oh, man, that is unbelievable.
Hey, baby, look, it's either you or the bag of peas, so who's it going to be?
All right, let's go to break. When we come back, there's good news for Miami Dolphins player Brent Grimes, and there's some free beer from it has to do with a college football team. I'll tell you about that coming up next as well.
Bang Radio.
Hello, sports fans, and welcome to the Bang Radio Hour official NFL predictions for Week 4. I am your host, Harry Sphincter. Before we begin, an NFL viewer tip. Scientists have determined that turning down the television volume and listening to a chimpanzee fix a toaster is as informative as listening to CBS airhead Phil Simms call a football game. And now the predictions. Millions are thankful that Hurricane Joaquin has pushed out to sea, sparing them from having to watch the Philadelphia Eagles try to run the football. Eagles over Redskins, 28-17. Marveling at the tackling skills of Bears quarterback Jay Cutler, Raiders safety Charles Woodson claims, "No Bears quarterback has tackled me like that since Jim McMahon." Raiders win 34-3. To maximize UK fans' American experience, all fans attending the Jets-Dolphins game at Wembley Stadium will be given a free handgun. Jets win 23-6. The United Nations Security Council have announced plans to investigate Buffalo Bills head coach Rex Ryan for war crimes after watching footage of Sunday's destruction of the New York Giants. Bills win 38-20. Religious fervor grips Cincinnati after a hotel employee finds a Jesus-shaped mustard stain on Andy Reid's pillow. The distracted Chiefs lose to the hotshot Bengals 32-20. After a hard tackle, Cam Newton becomes upset when referee demands two forms of identification and valid birth certificate before flag can be thrown. Panthers over Bucks, 27-13. Desperate to find a way to inspire his lackluster team, Colts head coach Chuck Pagano asks team doctors to give him cancer again. Indy edges the Jaguars, 23-21. After games versus the Bears, Saints, and 49ers leave them unfamiliar with the concept of opposing defense, the upstart Cardinals get their noses rubbed in it by the Rams, 36-17. Kicking off Breast Cancer Awareness Month, the Green Bay Packers allow a group of 53 women survivors to play the 49ers game. They win 46-20. San Diego officials brim with pride after Browns number 2 quarterback Johnny Manziel gives the Chargers sidelines a coveted 5-tush comfort rating in an interview with Bench Rider magazine. Footage of Teddy Bridgewater versus the Broncos defense will be used in an upcoming National Geographic documentary about baby animals being killed by large predators. Denver rolls the Vikings, 36-17. In a panic to avoid Brandon Whedon-Luke McCown matchup, NBC flexes the schedule at the last minute to air Jimmy Fallon reading the phone book. Cowboys over Saints, 22-10. Remember, these predictions are not to be used for gambling purposes unless you are an idiot. For the Bang Radio Hour, this is Harry Sphincter.
VOTech.
For 10 years, VOTech has been a leader in website development and network solutions. Whether your business has an established website or are preparing to create something new, VOTech can handle every facet of your project. VOTech offers full website and portal design and creation services, including domain registration, site maintenance, dynamic programming, database administration, video streaming, and more. VOTech also offers full e-commerce and e-marketing development and management, as well as complete web hosting services. You can trust your web project to the professionals at VOTech.
VOTech.
Here's my story, it's sad but true, about a girl in maize and blue. We made love, but then I started to cough, and 1 week later my dick fell off. And all the girls got bad diseases, and all the girls are dirty sleazes. Girls got open sores, and
team receptacle. I think she really must have lived a life of sin. Cause when I got on top, I fell right in. And all the girls got bad diseases. And all the girls are dirty sleazy. And all the girls got open sores. And all the girls are dirty whores. Herpes, syphilis, gonococcus. Herpes, syphilis, gonococcus. That's my story, my life is shot. Because the girl made my crotch rot. If she ever tries to get you in bed, just remember that you're safer jerking off instead. And all the girls got bad diseases. And all the girls are dirty. And all the girls got open sores.
Yeah.
And all the girls are dirty whores. And all the girls got bad diseases. And all the girls that are dirty sleazy. And all the girls got open sores. And all the girls are dirty whores.
Tangled up in maize and blue.
Oh, damn, we got you.
Yo, what's up? This is Johnny Christ from Avenged Sevenfold, and you're listening to John and Tom on the Bang Radio Hour.
The give is to Davion Smith, and Davion Smith breaks a tackle. He pounces it out over to the 30, to the 20. He's struggling, breaks another tackle at the 10. He's in. Touchdown, Michigan. Wow, did Davion Smith refuse to go down 50 yards after he took the ball? He crossed the goal line.
Okay, so Davion Smith, running back for Michigan, he scores that 50-yard touchdown run. And here's what Jim Harbaugh said afterward.
Wow, I mean, can this happen again? Can we get another plus 50-yard run for a touchdown? I mean, those don't happen maybe once a season.
Okay, 50-yard plus touchdowns, John, according to Jim Harbaugh, only happen once in a season.
It's give them a break, dude. It's Michigan. 50 yards to them, you know, you never know. It could be measured in cubits.
That's what I mean. Okay, here's the funny part. On Saturday, mm-hmm. Notre Dame had two of them by a guy. One of them was 70 yards. LSU had a 62-yarder and a 69-yarder. These are just one game. And I guarantee Fournette will have more before this year is over for LSU. That kid is a friggin' beast. He could play on Sundays right now, but yeah. I guess they have different standards in Michigan. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, God damn it, Tom, they play that fluky-ass offense where they use the quote-unquote, whole field.
Right.
You know, that's what Harbaugh says. Who's got it better than us? Well, maybe those guys that know how to throw it 60 yards in the air every once in a while. You know, oh, hey, quarterback, hey, look at that. You got an arm. No shit. What the hell can we do with that?
Man, that kid, I tell you what, you know, neither one of us have any love for the SEC at all.
No, okay. None whatsoever, except if you have good football games on Saturday that I tend to watch because they're very good
games. Yeah, but you cannot help but like Leonard Fournette from LSU. This kid is, oh, my God.
He is badass. He's a man among boys.
Oh, he is. He is. That's exactly what he looks like out there. And I said, you know, he could be playing on Sundays right now, and I guarantee he could. And he is the reason that it's come up again. Does the NFL need to revisit its policy on making kids stay in, be 3 years removed from high school before they can come to the NFL?
Right. And, you know, I'll tell you what. I'm not sure. I don't see really why it would be such a problem. I really don't. I used to think that it would be a problem because they might not be ready physically to be able to play with those guys. But if they can play with those guys, what the fuck? Why not let them play with those guys?
And here's the thing that I don't think people are thinking about. They're saying, oh my gosh, all these guys are going to go to the NFL now and they're all going to skip. No, all these guys aren't. You know what? It's going to be one, maybe two guys a year. Are going to get that right, exactly. There may not be any in 1 year. Now, there also may be a guy who goes and does play in college and only does 1 or 2 years and he's ready. Yeah. I do believe that if Maurice Claret had been, you know, if the court had not appealed and won and stopped him from going, I believe if he, after that 1 year that Ohio State won a championship in 2002, if he'd have gone straight into the draft and straight into, you know, mini camps and offseason conditioning and training camp, I believe he would have been fine.
He probably would have been fine. And unfortunately, I think he would have been able to sign a pretty decent contract better than the third rounder that he got from the Broncos, and he would have been able to pay off the mobsters who had been bankrolling his entire career up to that point. He probably wouldn't be in the trouble that he's in now.
All right.
I don't blame him. I'm not blaming him at all. I mean, you know, when you have talent, you got to be careful because there's sharks out there, and he's a good story about it.
Well, see, and therein lies another problem with a kid coming out of high school who's looking at the NFL. He needs to know, okay, so I'm going to get drafted really early. He needs to know that,
right?
Because once he commits and he gets an agent, that's it. You can't go to college after that.
See, I told you, how many times have I told you, because I can't stand how the NCAA does things. If I had a kid that could play that well in high school, he'd get an agent in high school. We're talking to the colleges with an agent. But anyway, I think in terms of high school players going to the NFL, I don't think that's going to ever be a problem, because I don't think any NFL team is going to say, well, you know, it's equatable to see his talent running over high school students to the NFL. If you go in and you do it to, you know, some college players or some big schools, you can run over big people, then, okay, we can talk about it.
Right. Exactly. You've been to high school football games before, right?
All the time.
Yeah. There was a game last weekend, and this team had 3 Division I commits on it.
And they are head and shoulders better than everybody on the field. They might as well be out there by themselves. You can guarantee it.
They stand out so much. I mean, it's just, you can't miss them. If you didn't know and you went and watched the game, you'd be like, those 3 guys right there are not supposed to be playing here.
Yeah.
That's the way it looks.
Last
year
I watched one at a local high school, Thomas Stone, who committed to Clemson, right? And he's all world out there against everybody else. At Clemson, I don't even know his name yet.
Right.
You know? And so people, I think that the worry about kids coming out of high school, it ain't going to happen, because the NFL's not going to risk it for their own purposes. They're not going to take a kid that hasn't proven he can at least play with somebody that's over 300 pounds, you know, and not the fluky high school kids.
Right, so, exactly.
Yeah, but you prove it in some big conferences, why not? What happens if he goes back next year to fulfill their rule and he gets hurt?
Well, see, that's the thing. And Leonard Fournette, that what they're talking about is him sitting out next year.
See, I think that's bad, because look at how Mike Williams, remember, he sat out. And he tried, because remember, he got caught up with the same thing with Maurice Claret, the wide receiver from USC.
Yeah,
and then
same thing.
He sat out and entered the draft the next year, and he was never any good. Never any good. Of course, he put on 400 pounds, but he was never any good anyway.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know what the answer is there. But
I think the answer should be sophomore season, you can come out. You play freshman year, you play sophomore year, you show you can do it, and you're catching the eye of NFL talent scouts, then you should be able to catch their
eye. I think you can show it in one season. I think if you're playing, that is, if you're playing in your freshman year in college and you're succeeding as a freshman in college, then I think that's good enough.
I think, I can't disagree with that. And I also think that at the same time, the NFL team that takes the shot at you is taking a big risk.
Sure.
So it all evens out. So, I'm all for it. And I think that kid, Fournette? Fournette's his name? That dude's badass. I was watching Texas A&M Saturday night, too, and I can't remember the name of their running back, but damn, he was trucking some people, too.
Yeah, Fournette's going to... I just feel like he's going to win the Heisman. I just don't think there's a doubt. This kid is unbelievable. I would not be shocked if he leads LSU to the national championship.
It's very possible. Who are the hotshot quarterbacks out there that are going to steal thunder from him? I haven't heard anybody yet. Nobody's really standing out yet.
Yeah, I don't know.
Except Christian Hackenberg, of course.
Hackenberg?
Hackenberg's got to be in the goddamn conversation for the Eisenman Trophy.
Okay. Let's move over back. Actually, going to move back. I played this clip a couple weeks back. It's Steve Spurrier. He was talking about SEC fans being upset with the Buckeye schedule. And if you missed that, here's what he said.
Right, right.
I know the SEC fans are a little upset at Ohio State schedule. And rightfully so, to tell you the truth. But that's just the way it is. That's just the way it works out for all of us. I remember several years ago, Texas A&M had four sort of gimme games outside the conference and then eight conference games. There's four of us that have that in-state rivalry game with a team from another conference. And we usually play another ACC team. So we got two really big teams this year. We got Central Florida that was in the top 10 a couple of years ago. So, yeah, we got a pretty tough schedule.
Oh, okay. Central Florida, John. Remember? And That's the thing that cracked me up. Remember? I said, oh, God, tough schedule. Got to play Central Florida. They were top 10 2 years ago. All right. Central Florida has not won a game. They are 0-4. Okay. And they're so bad that there's a bar near UCF campus called the Basement Orlando. And right. they're giving away free beer during Central Florida's games until they win.
Okay, free beer?
Free Dude, beer.
I bet you the cops say, no, you're not. You can give away a free beer to that guy, and that's it. You know, and probably that's what they're going to do anyway. They've probably got such some kind of goddamn small little freaking catch in there that means they're going to give away a free beer to a random freaking bar patron.
No. They domestic draft only in off the kegs. You know, look, I can remember going to Papa Joe's Pizza down on Ohio State campus, man. You know, back in the day, and they used to have
Papa Joe's,
man.
Average ingredients, average pizza. It's a knockoff joint. What can you say?
Dude, it was... Okay, listen, I'm serious. 25-cent draft and 25-cent pizza slices of pizza.
Well, it's like going down to Domino's. Not Domino's. Domino's, you know, the other place around the corner. Like Papa Joe's.
Yeah, this ain't Papa John's. This is Papa Joe's. It burnt down.
And there's Pizza Shack over that way.
Right. But it's cheap. It's the cheapest draft beer you can get that they're giving away. I guarantee. But they're giving it away, and they said every week they're going to give it away during the game until they win. And that means if they go 0-12, they'll give it away for 12 weeks.
Hello, this is your friendly neighborhood insurance company. You're canceled. Thank you. Goodbye.
But this team, UCF, is the reason Steve Spurrier is bitching about the Buckeye schedule.
Who did South Carolina just lose to this past weekend? They lost to a scrub. I got to look it up. They lost to one of their little, you know, tough little, what you call, gimme games. They lost one to this weekend.
Well, did they really? I thought it was another SEC team.
It may have been, but I don't think it was a very good one. Let me see. Oh, they're 2-2. They're 2-2. How about win a few games there, Steve?
So who'd they lose to?
They beat Central Florida. They lost to Georgia, and they lost to Kentucky.
Georgia.
So, yeah, they lost to Georgia. So there's nothing wrong with that. But losing the cut, they got smoked by Georgia. But this past weekend, that's why it struck in my head, because they played Central Florida, and they won. So they won their gimme game.
Right.
Free beer for everybody, thanks to the old ball coach.
All right, good news for the Miami Dolphins. Well, for Brent Grimes from the Dolphins. His wife will not be banned from attending future Dolphins games.
Well, you know what? That's bad news for her, because that means she has to go to future Dolphins games.
Well,
they ain't looking so good.
Okay. Well, there's a reason for this that I'm bringing this up, obviously. Miko, that's her name, Miko Grimes, on Sunday, she was at the stadium, and right around kickoff, she got arrested at the stadium.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because she flew into a violent anti-cop rage when they tried to stop her from walking into a restricted area, and this, of course... culminated in a Miko versus cop headbutt.
She headbutted
a cop.
That's
always a smart thing to do.
Right. Miami-Dade police say Miko had not only disobeyed cops when she was specifically instructed to stay away from a restricted area, but she became physically combative and started screaming obscenities, John. She yelled, "Fuck you, cops. You can't tell me what to do."
Right, because she's Miko freaking Grimes. Right. And you know what that mean. That mean the finger go up and the neck start weaving and you ain't stopping nothing. This going down to the taser hit me. You understand?
I'll cut your motherfucking throat!
Right! Shit, I can see her now. I can see her now with her big fat ass and her little tiny fucking leopard skin print that is so fucking tight up against her you can see every roll in that bitch. She looks like the Michelin Man. And her neck is going one way and her chin is going the other and her finger is keeping time to all of it while she's telling you, this is what we gonna do. You ain't gonna do nothing. You ain't telling me nothing. That's right.
Oh.
You can't be oppressing me, Mr. Police Officer. Of course, this is the United States, and it could be that the cops ordered her to lie down on the ground, and when she didn't, they brought a fucking helicopter over and fired some air-to-ground missiles at everybody.
Well, cops say after she said that, a struggle broke out, and Grimes was kicking her feet and flailing her arms, and at one point, she cocked her head back and headbutted a female cop in the left side of her face, and now she's facing all sorts of criminal charges, but as long as she's not in jail, she is free to come back to Dolphin Stadium and cheer on her husband whenever she wants, says a Dolphin spokesperson.
Up next on the NFL Network, Real Housewives of the Miami Dolphins. Watch Miko get in an altercation with the police.
She probably will get a job on one of those shows now because of this.
That's probably her audition. You know, she probably said, look, I got the hair, I got the finger, it go this way, I got the neck and the chin action, I know how to cock one eyebrow up and look at you like you crazy. And they said, okay, well, go down and get in a fight with some cops or something. Let's see how you look on film. The camera do add 10 pounds, you know. And right. I would throw it upside your head. You can't tell me not to go in there. I don't care if it does say reserved for the owner of the team. My husband is in there returning kicks. I will be going through there to talk to that man. Do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? Do you know who I am? Do you know who I am?
Oh, God.
You know, and people will yell at me and say, look at you doing a racial stereotype. So what? You know how many times every one of us have seen somebody act like that? Holy shit.
So I know a lot of people have seen this. It was pretty entertaining. Every now and then you will get some people on TV, you know, calling games that have some personality and can actually entertain you at times.
Right. It's too bad that Phil Simms ain't one of them.
There's nothing entertaining about Phil Simms. Maybe. Nothing.
You know, Jim, I have found that just dipping my finger directly into the mayonnaise jar helps preserve its completely bland flavor.
Right. That's Phil Simms. Mm-hmm. All right, well, these guys doing
on
the...
Time out. There's video of Miko Grimes getting arrested.
Yes. Yeah, I know.
It's on YouTube. Just type in Miko Grimes. There it is. She's on the ground.
Yeah, I've seen it.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to break you off, but I hadn't seen it, so there it is.
All right, so a bunch of sorority girls went to an Arizona Diamondbacks game on Wednesday.
Right.
And the announcers made fun of them because they kept a camera on these girls for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And all they were doing was taking selfies. They didn't have a clue what was going on in the baseball game.
Dude, they don't have a clue what's going on outside of the little bubble around their heads to begin with.
Oh, my God. Just taking selfie after selfie with whatever food they were eating.
I'll bet you that every single one of them, their favorite sentence in the entire English language is,
okay.
Oh, I thought it would be like,
okay.
So yeah, you've got it with the full punk with the full sentence. I just used the abridged version. So yours is like a okay.
Very good.
You want me to do what? Okay.
All right. So here's the Diamondbacks TV announcers. Once they discover these girls in the stands and the cameras on them, and now they're pretty much forgetting about the game too because of this.
Maybe they'll tweet us their fan photo, BB. Now is the time, fans. Get on the Twitter with the hashtag of the whole thing, AZDataStrongFan. Then you might see your fan photo.
Fan photo.
The Diamondback TV broadcast brought to you by T-Mobile. I mean, look at the one on the right.
Do you have to make faces when you take selfies?
Wait, one more now.
Oh, there you go.
Better angle. Oh, check it. Did that come out okay?
That's the best one of the 300 pictures I've taken of myself today.
Every girl in the picture is locked into her phone.
That's right.
Oh, Lord.
Every single one is dialed in. Welcome to parenting in 2015. They're all just completely transfixed by the technology. David Peralta. Oh, hold on. I'd take a selfie with the hot dog. Selfie with the churro.
Oh, no.
Selfie just of a selfie.
I can't even get my phone to take pictures. My first bite of the
you
churro.
You want to take a selfie
Here's
with a hot dog?
Bite of the churro.
You know, the beauty of baseball is you can sit next to your neighbor and have a conversation, or you can just completely ignore them. Peralta knocks it into center. David tonight, 2-for-2, a leadoff single here in the fourth. And nobody noticed.
They never looked up.
Help us, please. Somebody help us.
Yeah. We need to. Can we do an intervention? How about if we send Baxter out there and he just collects all the phones?
Oh, that was my favorite part when they actually called the play that happened on the field. And then he goes, and nobody noticed.
They didn't look up and they didn't even blink.
Nothing. Nothing.
And then he makes the Mike Vileni reference.
Yes.
Help us. We don't know what we're doing up here. Oh, wait. I have to get another one with duck face. Come here.
Oh, my God. There was one doing duck face, too.
All of them were doing it. They were all moving the cameras around to get the best angle of them. Oh, my God. How vapid. What the fuck? First off, why did you go to the game? That's my question. I mean, it's obviously some sort of sorority night out because there's no guys there. You know, unless there were guys, there were their dates just said, you know what? Fuck this. I'll just talk to you on Facebook while I'm driving to a bar. Bye.
Well, you know damn well they went, oh, yeah, let's go. It'll be a great opportunity for selfies.
Right.
You know that's why the only reason they went.
I think the background of the empty seats will make a wonderful, wonderful backdrop for my hair.
I'm serious.
Oh,
that's what resumes are going to be anymore. It's just a bunch of selfies.
This is me driving. Here I am taking out the trash. Here I am making duck face in the mirror in the bathroom. And here's my song, and that's my kid.
Oh, hell. Yeah, man. I kind of thought it was fun. You should see the video, everybody. You should go out there and just look up Diamondbacks announcers, and it'll come right up. But the girls are cute and obviously stupid enough to pretty much do anything, because as long as you don't take their phone away from them, I doubt they'll ever even notice.
Yeah, it's bad, man. You know, there was a story came out the other day about a couple different things. One, people ignoring other people because they're on their phones.
Yeah.
And there was a story that said 12% of people now hide their cell phone. And I'm reading this story, and that's what it said. It said they hide their cell phone just to keep from looking at it. And I'm thinking, well, when something's hidden from you, you don't know where it is. But if you're hiding the phone yourself, that doesn't do any good.
You're an idiot.
Well, it evidently wasn't working for some of them, because almost half of them now have come back and said that didn't work, so they just shut their phone off.
Well, I've just never been one that's been so absorbed in my phone that I have to be on the internet doing. And these girls, they're not doing anything on their phone except taking pictures of themselves and tweeting that out. I'm sure they're either tweeting it or sharing it somehow.
Facebook, whatever, yeah.
You know, but hey, listen, sorority girls out there, I don't mind. Go ahead, keep doing it. It's fun to look at. I don't care. Go ahead. Take your clothes off, as a matter of fact. Do it with as little on as possible. Okay? You want people to look at your stuff? There you go.
Well, this Periscope's pretty cool.
Periscope is pretty cool, and we're kicking around the idea of using it, I think.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, here's the thing is, you know with Periscope, and I'm sure it's already out there if you're following the right people. You know porn's got to be live on Periscope, depending if you're following the right people. It'll probably cost you money, but you know what I mean?
For now.
Right, exactly.
Somebody will figure out a way.
But no, it's really cool. We use it on the morning radio show all the time so people can watch what we're, you know, the silly stuff we're doing. But yeah, and you know, this, as far as if you're out there going, oh, you guys, man, you got to poo poo the technology, because we know how to use it. We do use it, just not every second of every day.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And, you know. I really like technology. My whole life is based around technology.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have a podcast where I can act like an asshole like this if it wasn't for this technology. My career is this technology. But at the same time, when I walk through the grocery store, I don't trip on things because I'm looking around me instead of at my phone. I can live in the world.
People have gotten killed walking out into the street because they're not paying attention because they're on their phone.
People have gotten killed because they walk out in the street on their phone and somebody goes, "You motherfucker, you're on your phone!" But that only happened a few times, and then they caught the guy, and thank God he's in jail now.
All right, so you got Redskins and Eagles, Cowboys playing the Saints. What other game? What game are you looking at going, yeah, I want to see that one?
Let me see. Let me pull up the schedule here, and I'll tell you which game I'm looking at that I'd like to see. I'd like to see the Raiders and the Bears, simply because I want to watch the Raiders annihilate the fucking Bears.
Really?
I want to see it happen, man. I'm following with what you said on week one and that you backtracked on week two. I do like the Raiders. I just made a trade in our league. I traded LeGarrette Blount for Derek Carr, right? And people are going to think that's crazy, but based on my situation with Ben Roethlisberger and my other situations at running back, it made sense. Carr has a couple of games coming up, plus the other backups that I have that I can play some matchups and do all right. And Carr this week's going to roll for me. He can't blink in the huddle without freaking opening his eyes and seeing a great weapon. He just can't. So I'm buying on the Raiders.
Oh, I told you.
Yeah, I'm buying with you. I'm there with you. I'd like to see that game. Kansas City-Cincinnati looks kind of interesting to me. Kansas City has had a monster of a schedule early on in the year, man.
And it doesn't get any easier against the Bengals, man. And see, that was the thing. The Bengals went out to Oakland week one and trounced them. And then I said, yeah, I was just kidding about the Raiders. But, I mean, obviously they're a good team. It's just the Bengals are, I mean, Andy Dalton's playing at an elite level. Like, I've never seen him play before.
Well, he's matured. He's coming into his own. What's this, his fifth year?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. The game has slowed down considerably for him. He's doing it right. And don't get me wrong, I'm not thinking Oakland is going to challenge the Broncos for the, you know, division, or the Chargers, or whoever shakes out there. But, and I think they've got a hell of a schedule coming up after the Bears. But when you have the Browns and you have the Bears, if you are going to become a better team, you have to beat them. And they are.
Right. And I said 8-8.
Yeah, and I'll buy that. I'll buy on that. St. Louis, Arizona, I wouldn't mind seeing that, because Arizona, like the Raiders, have had a cakewalk schedule and are impressing the shit out of everybody, beating the worst three teams in the fucking league.
Yeah, I am definitely, definitely looking forward to... isn't that weird, John? We're looking forward to the Cardinals-Rams game. How bizarre is that? What happened? Where'd my NFL go?
I want to watch the Rams expose the Cardinals.
Well, I'm hoping Brian Quick is going to play this week, because that dude is friggin', man, he's electric, and I know Foles is going to get him the ball. But the Cardinals are really, God, they're so good. As long as Carson Palmer's healthy, man, you're going to have to deal with that team.
Well, they're good against the Bears, right? Well, who else did they beat? They beat didn't they beat the Buccaneers? Jameis Winston, they beat a rookie quarterback, and that who that was the second week? They have not played really anybody yet.
Yeah.
The teams that they're beating, they should beat the shit out. They played the 49ers. They beat the Saints. They're bad this year.
Yep.
All right, they beat the Saints.
I understand that. But, again, I look at the NFL, and I think these teams are a lot closer than people realize, you know, as far as how, you know, I think, you know, a 5-11 team is a lot closer to an 11-5 team than people realize.
Yeah, I can see that. At the same time, with the Cardinals, they are beating the crap out of these teams. They're laying up some points.
Yeah,
so there
that's
is that.
The thing.
If you're going to play the worst teams, you better beat the shit out of them. And how fun was it to watch Colin Kaepernick throw two pick sixes on his first two passes?
God, man, that was unreal. He threw four interceptions total.
Just the very fact that the first two were identical pick sixes, I was dying laughing.
Cleveland Browns quarterbacks don't even throw four interceptions in a game.
Cleveland Browns quarterbacks can't count to four interceptions. Let's get straight. They get to three, and then they have to take off a shoe.
Oh, my God. What other game? What other game? I'm looking forward to seeing Adrian. I don't know how the game's going to go, but I'm looking forward to see Adrian Peterson against Denver's defense, see how that goes.
Denver's defense. Wade Phillips, who was here watching Redskins games because his son was a coach here, was here all last year with season tickets wearing Redskins games gear in our stadium watching the games. And, again, we let him get out of the fucking building. So, if you're keeping score at home from the beginning part of the show, we let Kyle Shanahan walk out of the building and we let Wade Phillips walk out of the building.
Damn it! You've got to be shitting me!
Yes!
Oh, God!
Oh. Who else playing this weekend? I can't even remember.
Well, I mean, we got a bunch of games that don't look so good. We got an early game. We got the Jets and the Dolphins over in United Kingdom, which is
9:30 Eastern time. Man, if you're a Dolphins fan on the West Coast, man, you're gonna have breakfast watching that game at 6:30 in the morning.
Hell yeah, man! You're gonna get up at halftime, maybe.
Fucking Goodell.
The Bills and the Giants should be pretty good. I think so. I think the Giants are a lot better than people let on, and it's a lot better than their record indicates.
I think the Bills are gonna bitch slap them, man.
Okay, I see. I think that I think that has the potential to be a good hard, you know, slobber knocker game there. Eli Manning, you know, everybody makes fun of him, but the dude, he can put it together. I think
you're going to see a lot of Tom Dooley this weekend in that game.
I hope so. Let's get some Tom Dooley out there. Go Bills!
So. All right. Well, I am sorry to say, and I promise you guys, this is not going to be a habit. But we do have to take next week off.
Yeah, yeah. We've got contractual obligations. We've got to play the Tom Brady endorsement party for Donald Trump.
That's what it is, yes. We're performing. Yeah.
That's right. We've got a personal appearance because we are close personal friends of the Donald.
Yeah, there was just no way to work it out. I do, and I'm pretty sure the only other week we'll probably be off will be Thanksgiving week. But other than that, I don't foresee any other week except for next week being off.
Right. So next week, you won't have anything. But the week after that, Tilliard is back. He's going to do the
Tilliard
roundups for our fantasy pick'em leagues and our, the Eliminator Challenge. He does it every week on the Facebook page. He writes out this thing about how, you know, who's leading in what and how it all came down to it. You know, like he's a sportscaster. So I said, you got to record it.
Hold it. Hold up here.
Hold it.
Wait a second now.
Waiting. All right.
I don't know about this.
Oh, really? Are we going to be turning our back on the prodigal son?
He quit.
Oh, he retired.
He quit. He turned his back on us.
Well, he was a brony. He can't help it.
Well, now all of a sudden he can just decide whenever he wants to just waltz back into our show.
I'm a fucking soldier.
Tom is a spurned lover. Oh, shit. So, yeah, I think so. I think I don't mind. I don't care if he's slutting around with a bunch of bronies. He can come in. But, there's a condition. When you do the recordings of these updates, you have to do them as if you were a very excited British sportscaster. That's what I want to hear. I want to hear that good old John Tillion. I have to whisper because it's 12 o'clock at night, and I don't want to wake up my mom.
What does he think? There's some revolving door here. I'd just be on the show whenever I want.
John, you better not be up in your room being a two-timer with that boy from the United States.
And now you said he's going to be doing what for us?
He writes up a write-up every week for the Eliminator Challenge and the Pick'em League as to who's leading and how they're getting there and how many points they got. He does this whole thing. So I said, you got to record it. So he has agreed to do it. And, I might add, nobody has to buy him an ice cream.
All right. Well, it better be good.
Oh, it's Tilliard we're talking about. People do not lose their touch. Let me see if
is
I
this,
can give you a...
Now, did you check, is this going to bother Reevesy?
Well, no, Reevesy's going to do the introduction. This is going to be something that Tilliard will do. We'll just throw it in the break or something like that.
Oh, no, I understand. I understand that.
Yeah,
okay.
Something like that.
All right.
Where is he at here? Let me see what it would sound like. Let me find his last week's one. Here it is.
An impressive 14 correct picks this week gives Breeze Nuts a tie for the lead in the Pigskin Pick'em with the great Corn Julio. Silver and Mac is 2 points behind in third. Meanwhile, in the misleadingly named Eliminator Challenge, a lot of people didn't make picks this week.
So, yeah, that's what I want.
Breeze Nuts.
I can't wait. So, everybody, go change your team name to something really good so Tilliard has to say ridiculous shit.
Why don't you just fuck off?
Oh, yeah. See? See, Reevesy may not be good with this.
don't know, man. See, they're from completely different parts of the United Kingdom, I do believe.
All so, right.
We'll be good to go. We'll be good to go when we're going to cultivate our British audience.
I said all that, but I'm happy he's back. That's great. I missed him. I definitely missed him.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. It's not like I was pining for him or anything. But I'm glad he's back, too. I think it'll be fun because then I can talk about the way he's doing it, and we can bring his mom back as a nice, fun character.
Yes, absolutely.
You better not be making bad picks for those people.
I don't know. You know who I want to hear from more?
Who's that?
Hello, Bunk. Hello, Tom.
Chloe. I want to hear more from Chloe. Chloe's great.
Yeah, all right. That's cool. I'll deal with that. More from Chloe. I'm all right with that. Who else That'd wants to say anything? Anybody else wants to record anything? You can put it on your damn phone. Just send it to me. You can send it to me as a message on Facebook if it's funny. Let me see what I can do with it.
Come on, Whack Pack.
Yeah.
Show us what you got.
Yeah, we can't have a Whack Pack. That's how it's turned. So we should have like the Bang Gang, which sounds pretty fucking stupid. But
oh, my God.
It's what works. Okay.
We can do the God dang bang gang.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
No, stop it.
All righty. So, yeah, next time we come back, we'll have Tilliard, we'll have Alex, we'll have all kinds of fun.
Yeah, we'll be back in 2 weeks, and I'm sure Alex will probably want to jump in here and talk about the last two Browns losses. So,
yeah. Oh, and hey, follow us on Twitter. Follow at Bang Radio Hour on Twitter because the Harry Sphincter picks that I do, I also do tweets like that all during the games on Sunday. I make all kinds of goofy-ass pronouncements during the game on Sunday, and I have a good time. You can just sit there, basically, and read the tweets and see how stoned I get as the afternoon progresses.
All right. We'll do it again next time.
Later.
Listening to the Bang Cartoon Radio Hour.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
You're not a loser because you dress up in shoulder pads with spikes on them. You're a loser because you like the Raiders.
Bang Cartoon Radio.
Let me inhale it all in one more time.
Yes, ma'am, still, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir, still, yes, sir. Pull your pants up around your waist. I don't care if I'm your mom or not.
Yeah, they still have Tom Brady, and they're still coached by Bill Belichick.
The last time I cried over football is when Tom Brady got hurt, and those were tears of joy. Your coach is a cheater, your rings are a lie, you back up from Michigan.
We care about the small people.
So long, you fetus-faced windbag.
Bang Cartoon Radio.